Welcome to the Online Business Like a Boss podcast. I'm your host, Kristen Morris, and in this show, I want to bring you conversations with experts, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who can help inspire, motivate, and give you the knowledge to grow your online business. I know when you're just starting out on your journey as an entrepreneur, the learning curve can feel huge. I want this podcast to help shorten that timeline for you by giving you all the tools, knowledge, and advice that you need to grow a wildly successful online business. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Online Business Like a Boss podcast. And I'm so excited to be joined by the amazing Emma Hine, who is a certified business strategist. Emma has built in the past a seven-figure online business and then decided to walk away and leave it and start something brand new. So Emma, welcome to the show. And I would love to find out more about the journey towards, you know, building the seven-figure business and then what made you decide to walk away.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, first of all. It is great to be on here. Okay, so I was in I was in the corporate world when I decided I wanted to launch my own business. I think a lot of people are in the same situation. They want something different. They want more, whether that's more money, more freedom, more time. For me, it was very much about more freedom to be able to pick and choose when I went on holiday, freedom to be able to decide what my day looked like, all of those sort of things. And for me, the right way to do that was to start my own business, because within your own business, you have so much more flexibility. So I launched my e-commerce business. It was back in 2006. It took me a couple of years to grow it to a level where it was able to replace my corporate salary. So I went full time into my business in 2008. As soon as I was full time in the business, we started to see the growth quite quickly. So we went from what I call a side hustle, working from my home. You know, it was in the kitchen, then the dining room, then the study, then the hall, then all the bedrooms and everything else that went alongside it, into the first warehouse, the first staff member. And quite quickly, it was the second warehouse, the third warehouse, you know, five staff members. I think it was nine at the peak staff members. But what happened along the way is I forgot my reason for starting that business. I forgot that I'd started that business because I wanted more freedom. I wanted to be able to go on holiday when I wanted to go on holiday. I wanted to be able to spend more time with my children, who at the time were much, much littler than they are now. But what I had done is built a business that, yes, it was making me a lot of money, but it was effectively taking over my life. And I was spending all of my time, even when I was on holiday, working. The children were as good as having to ask me for time off, you know, ask me if they could come and spend an hour with me. And I was turning down social events. I wasn't able to go to, you know, pretty much anything. All of the things I really wanted to do, I wasn't able to do because I'd been so focused on the growth of the business.
And so what was the sort of catalyst behind? Was there like a moment that you decided enough is enough? Because I think most people feel like if they got to that level in their business, walking away would be really difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was an easy decision for me by the time I made the decision. But there was a few points during the lifespan of the business where there were signs, there was things that were telling me, you know, I needed to do something differently. The first one of those was in 2010, when my youngest daughter was taken into hospital just before Christmas. Now, Christmas, we were an e-commerce business. We were a retail e-commerce business. So Christmas was absolutely our peak time. But my daughter, you know, she was nine at the time. No, she was eight at the time. Sorry. She went into hospital. Obviously, I needed to be there with her. There was no doubt in my mind about that. But taking me out of the business, she ended up in hospital for 16 days. And being in hospital with her for that length of time, I couldn't do anything within the business. This was before we'd got good Wi-Fi and all of the other things that we now are so reliant on. We didn't have it back in 2010. We didn't have it back then. So I had time to start thinking about, you know, is this actually what I wanted? You know, is the fact that I'm sat here with my daughter feeling guilty for not being at work, feeling guilty for not being able to do all of the stuff that I needed to do? I should be there completely in the moment for her. So that was the first time when I started to think something's not quite right here. But I carried on. I kept going because I just thought, you know what? It'll change. The more money I earn, the easier this is going to get, because that's what happens. So it kept going. I started to get more and more depressed, more and more unhappy. By this point, we're probably 2014, something like that. I'm drinking a lot of alcohol. You know, alcohol was blocking out my day. Every day was a bad day. So every day was a wine day. So I was drinking a lot of alcohol. I wasn't eating properly. So my weight had dropped quite drastically. You know, by this point, I was tiny, skinny little thing, everything hanging off me. And I was just a very, very unhappy person. And ultimately, I got to the point where I thought, do I want this anymore? Is this actually what I want? But I was so afraid to walk away from something that I'd worked really hard to build. I was so afraid what other people would think if I just walked away from this business. Walking away didn't feel like an option. So I planned my own suicide. I sat and spent time working out how I could, you know, sort of end my life, take myself out of the equation, because if I wasn't there anymore, the business wouldn't be there anymore. And therefore, all of the people around me could, in effect, have a better life, because they weren't having to put up with me being drunk. They weren't having to put up with me being grumpy or me being at work. They could start to do the things that they wanted to do without me being a burden, because that's how it felt to me. But I still carried on. I was fortunate, you know, on the day where I decided to try and end my life, my husband found me. So I'm really fortunate that I am still here. But the next day, I carried on like nothing had happened. And I kept going. I just kept going. It wasn't until 2020. So this is 10 years after that first warning sign that I was unhappy in my business, that I thought, no, I can't keep going like this. I have to do something about it. Now, at that point, there was nothing specific that triggered it. Nothing specific said, you know, this is the thing. I just knew within me that something had to change. I think maybe I just got a little bit stronger in terms of, you know, my mental health, possibly. So I closed the business down after Christmas. I closed the business down with a view to really going back and looking at strategically, what could I do differently with this business? How could I still have the business, because that was paying the income, that was keeping the roof over our heads and everything else, but without it taking over my life to the extreme that it did? And I came up with a new plan. It took me 3 weeks. The business was closed for 3 weeks. And I came up with a new plan. And I implemented that plan. It took me 3 months to fully implement all of the changes that I'd come up with. I had no idea what impact this was going to have on the finances, on anything really. I just knew that this had to happen. It probably, in that first year, I'd say it probably about halved the revenue. We went down to about 600-ish thousand, something like that. But that included still part year where we were still doing our own thing. So it was difficult to fully understand, you know, what the longer term impact was going to be. But what changed at that exact moment is I went from working literally during peak 90 hours a week, 7 days a week, to suddenly having to only work about 15 to 20 hours maximum per week. And then it was almost like, okay, now what? What do I do with my time? I knew even at this point, so the business is still trading, but I knew it had to go because I knew that it was, you know, like a ball and chain for me, something that had scarred me so badly that I didn't want it in my life anymore. So off I go to, I joke about this, I went off to an island to find myself. I didn't. I stayed at home. But the principle is, you know, I had to spend some time really starting to get to know who I was and what I wanted to do differently, because I knew it wasn't what I was already doing.
Wow. So, and what was it that you decided to do once? Did you close the business then for once and for all? And that's what made you decide to help other people grow their businesses?
I kept the business going for a short space of time. The business hasn't traded now, apart from a few bits and pieces of stock that is still floating around for coming up to 12 months now. And formal closure is literally going through as we are having this conversation. So the business will be closed formally within the next month or two, however long it takes for solicitors and accountants to do their thing. So I did keep it ticking along in the background a little bit initially, purely because it was the only income we had into our house because the business was me and my husband. So obviously I needed to keep some sort of an income. And at this point, I was so low and so down. I had no appreciation or no understanding as to, you know, how I was going to earn money and how we were going to, you know, keep going. I had no idea at all. But the one thing that came quite clear to me right at the very, very beginning when I was, you know, doing this exercise of finding me again is that I had a real urge to want to help other people not to feel like I had felt. And I don't mean, you know, necessarily suicidal or that sort of low and down, but not to feel unhappy in business, not to feel like, you know, to run a successful business that you need to give up your life completely, because you don't have to do that. I did that. I absolutely did do that. But I didn't have to. Once I started to do that, it was an impossible. For me, the only option was to walk away. You know, all the other options that I could have considered, I had no headspace for. I had no mental headspace for. But yeah, I just knew that I just wanted people to be happy in business. And I thought, I need to find a way that I can make that happen.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I had another guest on the show who said something along the lines of, that you don't know what people who are running these big successful businesses, what they have going on behind the scenes. Like, they never switch off. Every part of their life is content and they're constantly filming, they're constantly on. And you have a lot of clients who are high performing entrepreneurs and people in your network. And do you find that that's what's happening behind the scenes? Is it as relaxed and easygoing as they like to make out, or is it kind of intense and full on for them?
I think it depends on how they've built their business, because absolutely there is people out there who are making, you know, good amounts of money who have got a great lifestyle. But there's plenty that are, you know, Instagram, I call them Instagram ready. So that the Instagram is showing the highlights. It is showing the things that, you know, they want people to see, because that's exactly what I did. You know, people saw the bits that I wanted them to see. Nobody saw the crumbling, you know, the crumbling stuff that was going on behind the scenes. So externally, you know, I did, and these other people do look very, very successful. But internally, that's not always the case. And I think, you know, the people who are doing it and are doing it well are the people who are actually feeling super successful. And I think that's the difference. The difference is that word. You can either look successful or you can feel successful. And unfortunately, a lot of people look it and rather than actually feeling it. So yeah, there is plenty of people who are doing this right. And they will be the people who have done this built on their purpose, their reason for success, all of their own, you know, own stuff. But a lot of those people have at some point in their life been at that rock bottom point, and they've had to turn their lives around because their business has taken it over.
And so someone who's listening now, who is on their way towards, you know, building the seven-figure business, or that's their main end goal, what does it actually take to build a business to that level from your experience?
From the owner's point of view, the absolute key is resilience. You've got to be prepared to, you know, accept things going wrong and be able to use that and turn that into something positive. So, you know, the fail fast and move on quickly is absolutely key in growing a business to that level. And the other thing to be really important to remember is you can't do it on your own. You know, it is impossible to, you know, build a business of that sort of level without allowing other people to support and do some of the stuff for you. I had a team of 9 people. However, I was still doing a lot of the stuff that I should have let go of. You know, I didn't because I thought, you know, I can do it better. I can do it quicker. You know, it's easier to do it myself than to train somebody else. I hadn't put all of the basics in place in terms of processes and procedures and all of that stuff that, you know, people say, oh, it's boring stuff, but it's really important that you've got all of that stuff in place so you can pass some of that work on. So, you know, you can't grow a business of that sort of level without people. So the sooner you start to get people into your business, the better, because then you can free up your time to work on the stuff that is key for you. As ultimately CEO of that business, you need to behave like that CEO of that business, moving away from, you know, constantly working in the business into, you know, somebody who is working on the business.
And what do you think are the most important considerations for someone who is, you know, wanting to build a business because they want a better lifestyle? What should they be aware of and what should they take on board right from the first day of their business so they don't create a monster that's taken over their life and they don't enjoy and they don't want to do it anymore?
For me, the starting point that I always say with everybody, and this is wherever your business is at right now, is really get to understand and be honest with yourself here, because this is where a lot of people aren't always honest with themselves, but really start to work out and understand what does success mean to you? Not what it looks like externally to other people, not making assumptions that, you know, having multi six figures, seven figures, eight figures, whatever it is, you know, that you think is a trendy number. Don't focus on that at all. Just purely sit there and say, okay, if I had my dream life, what would that actually look like? Because once you know that, once you understand what that is, then you can start to build a business around that, rather than creating a business and then thinking, okay, how do I now get the things I want to do? Because in the meantime, the business is controlling. You want to be controlling your business. And the only way you're ever going to do that is if you build your version of success into the core of your strategy, into the core of your business model.
I think that's key. I think one of my earlier businesses, I did something really similar. I was like, oh, I'm going for six figures and my dream life is actually just being able to spend time with my kids, because they were really young at the time, you know, not in school, that sort of young. And when I looked at it, it was actually, well, you can't spend all the time with your kids and have a six-figure business without hiring people in. And so I kind of stepped back and I adjusted and was like, well, there'll be a time for having the six figure business later on. But actually, that's not going to be me right now. It's going to have to be the five figure business until ready to devote more time into it.
That's it. And that's priorities, isn't it? It's about sitting there and, you know, there's this trendy figure, isn't there? There's this trendy, we want to earn 10K months. That figure gets bandied around online so much, to the extent that I think people think that that's what they have to earn in business, that they're not successful unless they're earning those sort of amounts of money. But I will always say to any of my clients, however much money they're earning, however much money they tell me they want to earn, I will ask them why. So you're telling me you want to earn 5 grand a month, 10 grand a month, 20 grand a month, 100 grand a month, whatever that looks like. Why do you want to earn that money? When you've got it, what are you going to do with it? How is it going to make your life different? How is it going to make you live your life in the way that, you know, you really want to live it? And quite often people are saying, oh, I want three houses. I want, you know, two cars. It's like, well, how many houses can you live in at once? Do you need those houses? Or is this just a dream that you assume means that you're successful? And I think, unfortunately, that, you know, social media has caused a lot of this, hasn't it? That we see so much that other people are doing, that other people are having, that we start to set our goals based on other people. And it's great. I am absolutely in favor of people, you know, wanting more and having, you know, these massive goals. That's brilliant if you've got that. But you need to understand why you've got that goal, because no point having a goal that is somebody else's. There's no point having a goal that is, you know, based on what you assume is success.
Yeah. Absolutely. One thing that I like to do with my clients when we're going through this kind of exercise of goal setting is to have them cost out how much their dream lifestyle is actually going to cost. And they find that actually, oh, I don't need 10K a month, I need five. And well, what can you start doing now that's going to be in your dream life? Like, are there elements that you can incorporate in now where you can start living into? They're like, oh yeah, actually, I hadn't thought about it. I could do, you know, a longer holiday, or I could go, you know, to the beach more often, or whatever it is, that they can start bringing that lifestyle in now instead of waiting until they've hit some number that they've pulled out of the sky.
Yeah, and that's it, isn't it? Quite often this number is literally pulled out of the sky because we hear it bandied about so much. So that's a great exercise to do with people, you know, to actually take them through that. Let's work out your, you know, what your dream lifestyle is going to cost you, and then we'll build a business based on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you have written a book recently, congratulations, called The Calibrated Life, which is all around this concept of living life on your own terms and building your business on your own terms. Would you mind telling us a bit more about the book and the concept behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was launched in October 2022, and it takes people through my journey because I think it sets the scene in terms of, you know, what can go wrong if you focus on the wrong things in terms of, you know, what growth looks like to you. And then it takes everybody through the steps that I went through to completely, you know, turn my life around. So I am a massive believer that, you know, life and business, if you're going to be a business owner, if you're going to have your own business, you have to find a way to integrate those two things together. You know, it's not a case of spending 50% on your life, 50% on your business. That doesn't work for everybody. So it's about finding ways that, you know, you can, in effect, make those two things work together. So it takes you through a 5-step process, which talks all about getting to know what you want your life to look like, then putting the plans in place that enable you to make sure that that happens, but both from a business perspective and also from a life perspective. And then looking at the how you make sure that you keep that on track, how you make sure that you don't step backwards. So getting to know your own mindset, your own triggers, things that tell you that things aren't quite going the way that you wanted to go. So it really is a book that tells you, you know, how you can grow a business that is on your terms, that is integrating life and business, rather than being a business that you then think, right, how do I shoehorn my life into that, or vice versa.
And so tell us about what your business looks like now, because now you've shifted into working with other people who are growing their businesses. Tell us a bit more about how you've made that transition and what your life and business is like now.
Yeah. So now I've moved over to, I'm a certified business strategist, and I work with ambitious business owners who want to grow a business that they love. And I focus a lot on, you know, on the business that they love. So I work with people, you know, one-to-one. I have events because I absolutely love bringing people together. Connection is so close to my heart, and I think it's really important for people to, you know, to connect and collaborate. So a lot of the stuff I do is about that exact thing. It's bringing people together. And this business has grown a lot through, you know, me sharing my story, you know, me talking about the things that I have done wrong and ways that you can do them better than I did. And I think that's, you know, a really important, you know, lesson to learn. I did grow a 7-figure business, but that business took over my life. And that is therefore, in my opinion, not a successful business. But by doing that, I have been armed with tools and techniques and, you know, complete understanding of the things that can go wrong and the ways that, you know, they should be done differently. So, you know, for me now, I am absolutely honored that I get to work with, you know, other business owners, be them startup business owners or people who are making, you know, considerable amounts of money, but to create that business model that gives them exactly what they want in terms of their lifestyle.
Amazing. And we were chatting before the show started recording, and I was saying that how excited I was to have you on the show, because I felt like you were my best friend. I see you all the time on social media. I'm like, oh, it's Emma. And then I realized, oh, wait, calm down. She doesn't know who you are. But you've built this presence online where I guess people feel like they know you before they come into your world and start working with you. And I just wanted to pick your brain a bit about like the magic behind you know, writing content like that? And how do you approach your content and deciding what to share and how much to share and how often?
I think for me, it's just about being true to myself. And, you know, I am a very open book. So, you know, what you see is what you get. And I think for me, I just talk from the heart. What I say is exactly what I feel. I share the good days, I share the bad days, you know, and I share the things in between, because I think it's important for people to see that, you know, business isn't all, you know, roses and unicorns. There's things that go wrong in business. And that doesn't mean that we're bad at business. It happens. It happens to absolutely everybody. So for me, it's just been really about being honest about my journey, you know, sharing the truths, you know, and just talking like I talk. So if you bang into me in the street, you get the exact same conversation that you get on my social media, because I think a lot of people, you know, they say one thing on the social media, but when you meet them, it's like they're a completely different person. And I just think for me, it's about integrity. It's about authenticity. It's about, you know, being the person that I am. And I think also it's, you know, a big thing for me has been the connection piece, has been the, you know, connecting with other people, bringing other people together. So, you know, I invest a lot of time and money into, you know, into my events. They're not money making things for me. They are about audience growth. They are about bringing people together who can, you know, become connections and, you know, people that we can, you know, work with moving forwards. And that doesn't mean me working with, it can mean, you know, people in the audience working with each other. But I think that starts to, you know, get noticed by people that you're actually just being a decent human being rather than actually just being somebody who is there to just constantly sell to people. Of course I sell, you know, I'm a business owner. I've got to sell my products and services. But for me, it really is just about, you know, sharing my journey and helping people. And that is always my focus when it comes to my content.
Amazing. And are these in-person events that you host or virtual events or a mix of the two?
Yeah, mainly in person, but I am going to take my, I run a big event twice a year and then I host a monthly like local type networking-y type event, although I don't like to use the word networking, it's more of a connection and collaboration-y type event. So I'm going to take the connection and collaboration events online in April. So at the moment it is in person, but I am going to be taking those online in April. So I'm looking forward to that.
Amazing. Sorry. And so what do you think are the key things for someone who is maybe at the earlier stages of growing their business? What are the key things to focus on for them to grow their business? Whether that is it audience growth or, you know, connecting, having a great product. What would be, if you were going to start again from day zero, how would you go about it and what would you tell other people to do?
The first thing before I did anything would be making sure I've got clear on why I'm doing it and what I want that business to look like. And then it absolutely is all about audience growth. It's about getting the right people into your world. Now, I don't think you have to have a huge audience in order to make money. You absolutely don't. It depends on what products and services that you are looking to put out there. So if you're looking to work with people one-to-one, for example, then you don't need as big an audience. If you're looking to run big group programs, then you're going to need a bigger audience. But I always say that when you first start your business, you know, once you know exactly where you're going and you've got your, you know, your basic strategy in place, so what you're going to be selling and all of that sort of stuff, you should be focusing 80% of your time on building an audience. And building an audience isn't just about putting people on your list. It isn't just about getting social media followers. It's about getting the right people and building the relationships with those people so that they really get to know who you are. They really get to trust who you are. And they really get to, you know, believe in you as a business owner, because ultimately that is what is going to make them buy from you. So definitely audience building at the beginning is key, but nurturing that audience too.
Super. Thank you so much for being on the show. I think it's been so helpful, like such a great, you know, such a great share. And thank you for sharing your story. And where can people connect with you if they want to find out more about your events and coming along or buying your book? Tell us more about where you are online.
The best place to find about working with me is my website, which is emmahine.co.uk. But if you just want to follow my crazy world, so, you know, there will be salesy stuff on there if you want to work with me, but, you know, my life generally, then it's Instagram. So it's I am Emma Hine.
Amazing. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.